the pages of my heart. Let my worship begin that never ends. From the pages of my heart, let my worship begin that never ends. To the God of all flesh, you're my God and your name is Yahweh. Your name is Yahweh. Yahweh. You're my God and your name is Yahweh. Your name is Yahweh. Yahweh.
Lord Jesus, we thank you for tonight. I ask by your Spirit that you will so bless your people tonight. Several of them have come from different parts of this city and this state to receive. The Bible declares that a man can receive nothing except it is given to him. Grant us by your Spirit tonight that we will enter into dimensions in the Spirit, dimensions of encounters. Lord, I pray tonight that such unique graces and such unique mantles and such unique dimensions will fall upon your people and shift them into very deep levels in the Spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. God bless you. It's my pleasure to be here. Please be seated. I'd like us first and foremost to appreciate your pastor, your father. What an anointed man of God. God bless you. God bless you. Alongside his lovely wife and family. And then when we came from the airport, I met for the first time a truly, truly humble and mighty servant of God, our bishop. It's my first time meeting with him, but please, I'd like us to honor him. God bless you, sir. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Just pray in 1 minute, Lord, visit me tonight. That should be your prayer. Visit me tonight. Visit me tonight. Visit me tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. Visit me tonight. While you're seated on your seat, can you just begin to pray in the Spirit as we build capacity to receive, whether you're inside, whether you're outside, it doesn't make any difference. Go ahead and pray. Shala Baruka Sudebrisha. Libana Sotia Hassana Malakoshia Lamaros. Shada Brada Gatika Soda Dalakatiadash. Skata Banda de Shede Halakosia da Baradish. Lord, our spirits cry to you tonight. Skandabende Kasana Malahasede Bakushabriata Katos. Shede Meletoko Soda Brando Sede Baladabash. Go ahead and pray. Shede bakatu sada balata shene mele hasada diyalagata boshe. Brande gatu samana shkana mala hasede balakatush. Si brande ke parus kabarundi ashada maladash. We open up our spirits. We connect to the heavens tonight. Shambrane te so maha shala bakatoria dagata prasida kata. Kabarando zegedesh kalabaruta sude behatia da bush. Liga de masana marato shabriaga da balatusia. It's a cry from your spirit. You're not just attending a service, there is a cry. Go ahead and pray. It's part of the conference. You are positioning your spirit man to receive very mighty things. Sede melekato sabanda kashala badakaria da badosa. The Bible says the Spirit is willing, always willing, Don't mind the weakness of your flesh. Your spirit is willing. Let us hear your voice tonight. Mandi gatos kabande ratos emana sigete balakatos ariada gatabash. Sebros kamarande shelemarakatos. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. One of the characteristics of a true church is that you must find an entrance from that church to the gates of heaven. When Jacob, in chapter 28 of Genesis, the Bible says that he was tired and he got a place, placed a stone there, and the Bible says he laid down to rest. And whilst he rested, the Bible says that in his dream, he saw a ladder. And that ladder himself was Christ, connecting that stone to the heavens. And when he got up, this was his testimony. He said, surely the Lord was in this place and I knew not. And he says, this is the house of God. Number one. Two, this is the gate of heaven. If the gate of heaven cannot be found in a place, then it is not the house of God. There must be an access point, a system of routing from every church to touch the heavens. If that is not possible in any assembly, regardless of what kind of dexterity is around it, it is not the house of God. If it is the house of God, there must be a gateway from that house that leads men to heaven. He said, this is the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. I truly believe that this place is not just a building, but that there is a system through the covenant of sacrifice that affords the Holy Spirit the opportunity to take us tonight to a trajectory in the spirit. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We'll just look at two scriptures. I'll begin tonight just for a few minutes and then we'll pray. I already sense a very, very heavy anointing in this place and I want us to be very sensitive. Hallelujah. I like us to be sensitive as I teach, because even while I stepped in, I began to sense the ministry of angels. And the moment that happens, I know that the Lord is already moving to touch people. So I want you to be sensitive. You are not only hearing, and the Spirit entered into me. He first told me to stand up, but I didn't have the strength. And then he used words to transfer the Spirit, and with it the ability to stand up. He said, and the Spirit entered into me when he spake. The ministration of the Spirit is more than the hearing ear. There is an interaction. Words are just vehicles that convey those essence, the spirit essence. At the end of the meeting, you will be surprised that you did not mentally assimilate anything exactly, but the essence entered your spirit. And as the days unfold, you will begin to see the reality of that encounter. Spiritual things are more than the realm of the mind. There are certain times that the realities must be crystallized in your spirit first. Your mind will catch up later on. So you will be surprised that you can finish a meeting and know you were blessed. And frankly speaking, you may not be able to articulate intelligently the details, the full import of what you received. But then the days and the weeks that will come will show that you really received something. That's the ministration of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's start with Exodus 25. the secret of great men recorded in scripture, the very one event in their lives that launched them to the realms, the dimensions in the spirit that made them useful for the kingdom. Every single one of them without exception had seasons in their lives when they went through moments of encounters. Everybody say after me, encounters. I want to talk very briefly about encounters because I think that our generation is losing out on the pricelessness, the value, the power of encounters. It is the reason why many people do not have faith, regardless of the lavish teachings about faith. Because you see, according to scripture, faith was not supposed to be a difficult subject that should be taught in series upon series. The volumes of teaching acts, the teachings that have come, are a revelation that we have not gotten something. Are we together now? Those who taught about faith in the Bible were not very learned people, but they were people who had encounters. Let me tell you this, nothing will replace the value and the excellency of encounters. The Bible says, but I know whom I have believed. I know, not that I've been told, I know whom I have believed. He said, and as a result of that knowing, I am persuaded. I'm not trying to believe. I'm not trying to hope. I'm not jacking myself in some mental propositions hoping to believe. Most of these things we do, though well-meaning, will never give us the results. This is a conference. Is God blessing us already? So I think that one of the challenges with the body of Christ is that we have a lot of spiritual propositions with no track record to validate them. So we have a lot of things we know God can do. We know God can heal. We know God can bless. We know God can lift. We know God can prosper. And we teach people to believe that God can do it. But the ability to compel that dimension of Him to be revealed in the midst of His people and supply that desire is where the missing link is. That one is not a product of oratory. That one is not just a product of educational prowess. That's a product of encounter. Is God speaking to us? Jesus met with a very strange woman while He walked upon the earth. And the Bible tells us that she had a conversation with Him and later discerning that He was a prophet. And then the Bible says she ran, left her whatever she was doing, and gathered the people in the city and said, come see a man. Come see a man who has told me everything that I've done. And the Bible says the people came not because they knew Jesus. They came because they were invited. But when they came and they interacted with Him, they said, Madam, we now believe not just because you invited us. We have had an encounter. We have met Him. Are we together? It is very costly to try to represent a God you do not know. Because Pharaoh will ask you questions. Who sent you? It is the challenge that many of us have faced. We have attempted to confront the gates of hell just because the Bible says that believers have authority and should confront the gates of hell. You see, until the Spirit of God opens your eyes to scripture, you may not see the hidden mysteries behind certain statements, and you will take them sometimes just like that and return back with casualties. There are people who have died as believers, went to certain homes to dismantle shrines just because the Bible says, I've given you authority over snakes and scorpions, but they have not stayed to be taught the dynamics of that operation. Though well-meaning, they got up and returned back with casualties. It takes more than just reading scripture. It is the entrance of the word, not just the looking at it, not just the assimilation, the entrance. There is an interaction of the Spirit upon that word that gives light. Are we together now? Encounters are very powerful. The ultimate goal of encounters is to produce conviction. That's it. the real secret behind our exploits is not so much about our versatility in knowledge, as it were. The real secret is our depth of persuasion in who God is and the irrefutability of his principles. And none of us is old enough, experienced enough, or smart enough, intellectually speaking, to get to that state in the spirit. It will take an encounter to bring you to a level of persuasion, unbendableness, where you know that this dimension of God is a dimension that has been supplied to me through encounter. I'm not trying to believe. Are we together now? Yes. There's a lot to talk about, but I'm just starting somewhere with us. The first thing I want you to know is that the purpose of encounters is to create conviction, not necessarily the message that comes from them. Conviction. The human spirit has been so deadened by reason of the nature of the flesh, it will take an impact, an experience that is higher than every other event that has happened in your life to make your spirit that alive to God. Are we together? Now, we have seen many things in our lives. We have seen accidents. We have heard the cries of children. We have seen guns. We have seen all kinds of things. So those things don't surprise us. And when God begins to propose his ways, we join God in the midst of those many events in our lives. And so there is nothing special about him and what he's proposing to us. It will take an encounter to push God and his purposes to become a priority. There is an event that must happen in your life so impactful that that dimension of God becomes your message, not because you learned it. It's an encounter that drives you. The Bible says, when you read Psalm 24, the Bible says there is a generation whose mandate is to seek the God of Jacob. Are we together? I'm just trying to articulate myself so that we can see how we can make sense within a very short time. That there is the God of Jacob. Now listen very carefully. The Bible says a generation will seek God in the similitude of Jacob. So Jacob becomes a portrait of encounters. Are we together now? You want to understand that scripture, you have to go and study the life of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. As at the time Jacob was walking, he already knew the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac. But there was no encounter in his life to add the names of God that a generation would study. As at that time, we did not know the God of Jacob and the full import of what that dimension revealed. You see, when you hear the God of this, the God of Isaac is not the God of Abraham. He's the same God, but the dimensions are different. When you invoke the God of Abraham, there is a context that revelation captures. When you invoke the God of Isaac, there is a context it captures. So God's design for every believer is that your lifespan should be long enough for you to name God through your experience. There should be a name that your walk gives God so that the generations after you will study. Are we together now? There was a kind of business Abraham did with God that made God say, I am the God of Abraham. When he appeared to Jacob, he called himself the God of Abraham. So when you call on the God of Abraham, he's compelled to move based on a covenant that forces him to move in a dimension. The Bible lets us know that Hagar began to cry alongside her young lad. Two of them were crying of thirst. And the Bible says only the voice of the young lad was heard in heaven. A woman is crying, a baby is crying. Heaven only hears the voice of the baby because it came out of the loins of Abraham. God was not hearing the baby, he was hearing Abraham. Then Then there is the God of Isaac. That's a dimension on his own. Now it was left for Jacob to use his life and create a name that a generation will study. Had he not gone through that experience, we would not know that it was possible to encounter God that way. This is the generation of them that seek thy face, O Jacob, or O God of Jacob. The first time Jacob had an encounter, Jacob was not prepared. The Bible says, he said, the Lord was in this place and I knew not. The second time God would appear to Jacob, Jacob was in a state of frustration. Notice that the Bible says that every time God would come to Jacob, it was at a night time. There is something about the night time and encounters. There is a level of frustration and discomfort and pain that is necessary for men to know God. I know you may not like what I'm saying, but men don't meet God in the daytime. There is something about the nighttime, a season where everything that should work stops working. The Bible says in that frustration, Jacob was about to meet his elder brother Esau, whom he had defrauded of a birthright. It could cost him his life. The Bible says he dismissed his wife, separated his cattle when he was alone. Then the Bible says a man, a stranger came and said, Jacob, let's try it again. You missed me the first time. And Jacob held on to him and there was a wrestle. Notice that God never said, Jacob, how are you? The moment Jacob was about to be lifted, the issue of name came. What is your name? What is your name? And he said, I am Jacob. He said, no, you have done something that has changed your name. From today henceforth, you will be called Israel. Listen carefully. He said, for as a prince, you have fought with God and you have prevailed. Something about your hunger made you to hold on to God. You broke a lot of spiritual rules and your hunger still excused you. For that reason, your name has been changed. And then the Bible says that the angel of the Lord himself said, release me for the day breaketh. He said, I won't let you go. This desperation must release something to my destiny. And then the Bible says, as soon as that encounter was over, he said, the sun arose again and he called the name of the place Peniel. Peniel means the face of God. For I have seen God face to face and my life has been spared. That impact was so much that God's covenant people today are not called Abrahamites. They are not called Isaacites. They are called Israelites. Not just the followers of Abraham. It is true they say we have Abraham as our father, but the depth of encounter that Isaac and Israel had, he made God to name a nation after him, the Israelites, the very Israel of God. Are we together? Genesis 25. Exodus, I meant to say. Just two verses very quickly. There is a location where God meets with men. My assignment tonight is to show you. God is everywhere, but he does not meet men everywhere. No. God is everywhere, but he does not meet men everywhere. Are we together? A generation of young people have very interesting understandings about marriage. When a gentleman wants to ask a lady out, have you ever seen anybody asking a lady out where the train is moving? And he just said, let me quickly use this opportunity to just tell you I love you. The lady will look at him and say, wow, I really see that you are not interested in an answer. Atmosphere matters to that encounter. That gentleman wants an answer from that lady. He has labored to rehearse and plan, and he means business with her. So he not only focuses on her, he first focuses on the atmosphere, because he knows that the atmosphere has the ability to influence the answer that comes to him. Intimacy is atmosphere dependent. Not every spiritual climate is conducive for encounters. Exodus chapter 25, we'll start from verse 20. Are we there?
and the cherubim shall stretch forth their wings on high, covering the mercy seat with their wings, and their faces shall look one to another towards the mercy seat, shall the faces of the cherubims be. And thou shalt put the mercy seat above upon the ark, and in the ark shalt thou put the testimony that I shall give thee. 22. And there I will meet with thee, and I will commune with thee. What is the location? Above the mercy seat, between the two cherubims, that's where you will find me. Look up. This is a spiritual location that if you can construct that thing, you will find me. He said two things: above the mercy seat, between the cherubims that face themselves, if you can find that location, I will meet with you there, and I will commune with you. There are other locations where I will meet with you, but I will not commune with you. But if you want communion, the requirement is that it must be above the mercy seat and between the cherubims. There is a way you can meet me at the outer court. I will meet with you and I will give you an information. There is a way you can push through. When you stand at the outer court, there are things, everything from the outer court, the inner court, the most holy place is all Christ, but different dimensions of him. There are things you will find in the outer court you can't get in the inner. You get in the inner court, you can't get in the outer court. Is that true? The various descriptions are the dimensions of God that are affordable at every level. When Jesus said, I am the way, the truth and life, it was a description in the similitude of the tabernacle. Are we together now? There are dimensions of God that if your Christian experience stops at the level of the outer court, you have found Christ, you have entered the door, but there are limited dimensions of him that are affordable for you. If you want to push deeper, then you must go beyond the outer court. The moment you enter the inner court, the first thing you are going to meet is the table of shewbread, and then you will meet the seven lampstands. That means that the protocol of encountering Christ in the outer court is not the same in the inner court. There are things you can take casually at the outer court, but the moment you are stepping into the inner court, there is a greater demand for meticulousness. Are we together? The last thing you encounter before you get to the most holy place is the altar of incense. The altar of incense is the ministry of prayer. That is the authorized, it is the closest object, it is the closest spiritual posture to the most holy place. The moment you enter the inner court, you meet the seven lampstands. If you cannot encounter the seven lampstands, then the table of shewbread will not be useful. It is the encounter with the lampstands that give value to the kind of bread. Are we together now? You can access the bread without the lampstands and have religion, but it will take an encounter with the Spirit to make the word alive for you. So if you want to have access to the ministry of the Holy Spirit and the word of God, then you move beyond the nominal Christianity that is found at the outer court. Is God helping us to understand? Many believers think all there is to the Christian experience is just to get born again. But the Bible describes for us that there are different levels. And with those levels, the same Christ becomes different things. At the outer court, he is the brazen altar. The altar that you can hold on to, one of the four horns of the altar, describes the gospel of salvation. The substitutionary sacrifice of the Christ. You can stop there knowing just that and believing that is all there is, and have a great limitation, whereas God is still doing business with men. But there can be people who can be hungry and say, Lord, thank you for this initial experience, but I know there is more. The moment you step into the inner court, the first person you encounter is the Holy Spirit, the seven candlesticks. When you encounter the ministry of the Holy Spirit, he is the one who introduces you to the word. Trying to understand the word without the Holy Spirit is a waste of time. The Bible without the Holy Spirit is a theological compendium of controversies. Are you getting what I'm saying? A theological compendium of controversies. Scriptures supposedly violating themselves because not every part of this is the word of God. This is a compendium of a lot of historic details, but there are details that were captured, inspired by the Spirit. That part is what the Bible calls the word of God. The historical parts were all left for our learning so that we, through the comfort of Scripture, may find hope. Demons spoke in this Bible. Donkeys spoke in this Bible. Men in their backsliding state spoke in this Bible. Not every verse is directly applicable. It must be arranged by the Spirit of God to reflect the character of the Christ. Don't just say, if I find it in the Bible, I will do it. You can bring witchcraft out of the Bible. It's true. The challenge with many people and well-meaning preachers is that we ignore the seven lampstands, and we are from the outer court, but we are attempting to claim we have touched the seven lampstands. So we bring a lot of theological exegesis that may be well-meaning, well-constructed, intellectually presented, but they are in the absence of the Spirit. The formation of the tabernacle is necessary. Remember, the entire journey is to see His face. So I'm showing you the movement, the way it starts. And then you encounter the shoe bread, that bread that gives life, and then the altar of incense. Do you know why you must encounter the bread before the altar? Because that incense you see is a sacrifice. You must go in the strength of the bread you have eaten, otherwise you cannot stand. He tapped Elijah and said, eat. The journey you are about to take is far. What you need now is to eat. And the Bible says he went in the strength of that bread 40 days. And the moment you begin to engage the altar of incense, then something begins to happen. Notice that between the altar of incense and the most holy place, there is a mysterious material that is called the veil. Now, I know that Christ has torn the veil, but let me teach you something powerful about the veil that many people do not know. In this kingdom, everything that carries glory is covered behind the veil. Everything. It's a spiritual system. The most important organs in your body are covered. We call them vital organs. Is that true? Your heart, your lungs, they are so fragile. They are glorious because your human living depends on them. More glorious than your hand and your eyes are these organs. Everything that carries glory in the kingdom never comes open. It comes veiled because it will take sacrifice to show who is worthy of opening it. When they went to get a wife for Isaac, when they got Rebecca, the Bible says the moment Rebecca spotted Isaac, what happened? She veiled herself. Because here was a man who was going to look at her, and she believed that she was a woman of noble virtue, and she veiled herself. Let me tell you this. If all of your life is seen by everybody, it's a sign that you are cheap in the spirit. A major part of your life must be behind. If you're a man of God here, please hear me. I give you a big secret. If all of you is all that is seen by members, then you are not going to last. Your expository ministry should be a minute part of your work. The greater portion of the ministry is the burning of incense. It is the secret that brings power to men. We live in a generation where there is an obsession to be known. Is God blessing us tonight? There is an obsession to be recognized. And don't get me wrong, there is a place for honor. But this obsession you see is an activity of the flesh. It's an attempt to demean your spiritual value. Everything that is glorious in the kingdom is first veiled. It takes your passion and your press for the veil to be taken away. When you buy an expensive phone, do they just give it to you and say, Oga, you pay 200,000 for a phone, here you see it's original? No. Look at the meticulousness of the packaging. Sometimes you say, why did they have to go through that? It is because they want you to appreciate the value of what is inside. It's a spiritual principle. So I'm sure, are you getting this? If you get this, you will see why getting the presence of God is not cheap. No, you want to see the face of God, there is a price. It's not a gift. There is Jesus, our Savior, available to everybody by grace. But there is the God that your experience will give. That one is a price. It's a journey. The covenant of Jacob's grandfather could not automatically reveal God to him. It took a personal press for him to create a testimony by himself. Is God speaking to us? At the transfiguration, out of all the people that walked with Jesus, the 12, the 72, only three were given the privilege of having that transfiguration. The glorified Christ in heaven, among all of the disciples, only one had the privilege to see him. John had seen him in his earthly walk. Now he was in the Isle of Patmos, banished. And the Bible records that all of a sudden he said, I was in the spirit in the Lord's day. And all of a sudden my eyes were open. What do you think he was doing there? He was burning incense. The altar of prayer began to push him to the edge. And he pressed through the veil. And all of a sudden, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. If many people understand that prayer is a ladder that leads men to encounters, it's not just a system to get breakthrough in the spirit. Prayer is a weapon, the closest weapon that helps you to break through the barriers of the veil, and then you see his face. Then he says, I saw one who looked like the Son of Man. This was not the man I saw on earth, oh. And now I saw him, I saw the lampstands. And when I saw the lampstands, in the midst of them, I saw one. His hair was as white as wool, etc., etc. And then he began to speak. He gave John an information that no other person had. Are we together now? He began to teach John that there were many churches, but there are seven that are prophetic within that season. Seven churches that never believed they were related, but he told them the formation of these seven churches is what controls my agenda on earth within that time. He said, John, right. This privilege I'm giving to you is because you have seen my face. There are certain informations about God you will never know just hearing about him. It's an information that until you meet him. An encounter is not just reading your Bible and understanding alone. An encounter. Remember, the Bible says that the scriptures testify of me. The scriptures are supposed to lead you to a person. If your Bible study does not lead you to a person, you are not doing anything more than reading a Quran. You are not doing anything more than reading some zodiac mantra and all of that. The scriptures lead us to a person. I am the way. You follow that way, you will find the truth. You study that truth, it will lead you to a person who can give you life. That's the progression. It is first the way, then you meet reality, the spirit of truth. And when he comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will begin to show you, and then you will encounter him. That encounter is what brands you and gives you a message. That encounter is where your message comes from. That encounter is where your ministry comes from. Because with that encounter will come the anointing to prove you met that dimension of God. Above the mercy seat, below the cherubims, if you can create that location in your life, I will meet with you and then I will commune with you. When you back up to chapter 19, the Bible shows us that God wanted to reveal himself to the nation of Israel, and God gave Moses specific instructions. He said, go and tell the people for 3 days that they sanctify themselves because I am about to show up. I will come. I want to reveal myself to the people so that they will believe you, Moses. Moses, you know me, you have seen me, but these people think you are pretending every time you say you have met me. So let me give them a similitude of that experience so that it can create conviction in them. Do you know the reason why our Christian experiences are not very strong? We don't have encounters. We have informations, but no encounter. As powerful as John the Baptist was, he didn't have an encounter. So John the Baptist ordains Jesus, and then in the height of his frustration, having been told that Jesus was the Lamb of God, having been trained in the wilderness for many years, John is under serious frustration, and John sends a message: are you the Messiah, or should we expect you? Would you expect that from John? That's the same way a preacher who has been preaching for 30 years can turn and say, do I really believe in Jesus? After the myriads of the crusades, if I believe in Jesus, where was he when this was happening? Where was that when this was happening? But there is a way you can have an encounter that you said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I have known him. It's like occult. I have been initiated beyond. I can't lie that I do not know this dimension of him. That you encounter him as a healer. And even if you see 100 dead people, 100 sick people die in your presence, you can't deny that experience is too small to corrupt the power of the encounter you've had. Jesus, you're the cup that won't run dry. For nothing in this world can satisfy. Oh, Jesus, you're the cup that won't run dry. That's what happens when you encounter him. Nothing in this world will satisfy. Yes, you are the cup that won't run dry. Treasure of my heart and of my soul. In my weakness, you are merciful. Redeemer of my past and present wrongs. Listen to this part. You're the holder of my future days to come. Yeah. Your presence is heaven to me. This is not church. This is not religion. Your presence is heaven to be. Hallelujah. John the Baptist didn't have an encounter, and when life pushed him, John the prophet, the man who ordained and commissioned Jesus to ministry, now turned to join the devil and say, are you truly the sent one? Remember, the only other person who asked that kind of question was Satan. If you are the Son of God, now the person who ordained him is manifesting in the similitude of Satan. The pressures of life have a way of pushing you. It will take more than Bible study to survive today's world. You will be confronted with challenges that will rattle your faith to the core, to the point that other people will even feel for you because they don't know what answer you should give. But a man who has met God like Job will say, God is greater. Greater. I wish I can tell you, you can have all the answers to life's challenges and life's problems. Sometimes God is mysteriously shocking. When you expect him to speak, he keeps quiet. Because no man voted him into power. Lord, why did my mother who loved you so much die and heavens keep quiet? The only way you draw strength is the encounter you've had. And if you don't have any encounter, you will be surprised that all your Bible studies will evaporate. I read that since I was young and now I am old, I have never seen that. No. That's somebody's testimony. Get your own. Get your own. You are reciting some. There was a condition that man was that made him to testify that. We copy a lot of things without knowing the depth from which they came from. This was a man who had lost everything, boils all over him. And his wife said, I love you, but curse God and die. Reduce my problem for me. And Job looked at her and said, though he slay me. Here's what he said. All the days of my appointed, hold on, who told him that every evil has an appointed time? Do you have that revelation about God? That every time you see the night time, you smile and they say, why? Because night doesn't stay forever. It's a revelation that gives you confidence. You have learned by doing business with God that every time you see darkness, no money for rent, no food, people look at you and say, sister, you are a beautiful lady, you know what to do. You say, no, I have a message came from my encounter that weeping endures for a night. And so you stand gazing at the sky. They say, what are you looking for? You say, at the slightest manifestation of dawn. Because when I see dawn, I know that an end comes. Every manipulation of witchcraft waits for the mystery of the sun and the moon. And so every time the moon is giving way to the sun, there are powers that cannot operate again. I begin to rejoice because of understanding. Many believers are weak. We are weak not because we don't go to church, but because we have not pushed to the realms of encounters. There are things that I have seen in my life that will make me to never curse God. You've heard me say that I love Him. And it's not just because I'm speaking as a preacher. You wait until I tell you my story and I tell you where God is bringing me from. Then you will know that whatever God does today has nothing to do with my love and my relationship. I've gone through the furnace of fire and I know Him. Listen, let me give you one secret tonight and then we'll pray. Are you ready? The official way to know God is in the midst of pain and challenges. Write it down. Pray in the spirit while you are writing it, because some of you will not agree. Just write it and let God help us to be mature. Treasure of my heart and of my soul. Keep writing and just listen to me. Listen to this part. In my weakness, you are merciful. You don't need mercy until your weakness is revealed. Remember, I told you how to meet God above the mercy seat. Situations in your life must hit you and bring you to a point where you acknowledge that I am weak. That's the only condition for the mercy of God to work for you. Listen, you will never encounter God if you don't encounter His mercy. The mercy of God never comes to people who are still sufficient in themselves. So God will allow orchestrations around your life to beat down your pride until you come to a point where you say, Lord, I'm anointed, but this one is more than my power. And God says, you are inviting my mercy. Let me show you how people know God in this kingdom. I'm a man of God. You will never know Him that way. The first time He appeared to Jacob, Jacob was a man of God with no challenges. And God said, no, you can't know me this way. And He allowed him. He went to the house of Laban and suffered and was defrauded. Jacob cried and asked questions. By the time God will appear again, he was broken enough to have that encounter. The Bible says, blessed are they that hunger and thirst. You won't believe that I've not even started my message. We'll just leave it and continue tomorrow. But I just want to show you one key tonight. Don't waste your pain. You are wasting an opportunity to know God. Don't waste your disappointment. We live in a kingdom where many people say, if you know God, why is this happening to you? Tell them to keep quiet. There is an irrefutable spiritual system designed for saints to become men of power. Listen, no one encounters power without the way to the throne is the cross. You will never arrive the throne jumping the cross. I wish I can tell you, you will just receive an impartation and laugh and go. No. Those situations will break your pride. You will sit at a point where your only prayer is your tears. It's only your tears that will be able to speak to God. It's not lack of spirituality. Jesus got there. On His way to the cross, He passed through Gethsemane. Your Jesus. Your Jesus. As I'm talking, some of you now are already seeing that. So what is happening in my life? I thought it was because I was backsliding. Men of God told me I don't love God. I was surprised. All of a sudden, the carryover just came. I'm an anointed man. All of a sudden, my membership just reduced. The more I'm praying, all of a sudden, the gentleman said he will not marry me. I have kept myself. What is the handwriting on the wall? I came to interpret it to you. God is luring you. He wants to introduce his mercy, but his mercy will never, never come to people who are sufficient in themselves. Treasure of my heart and of my soul. Listen very carefully. It's in my weakness you are merciful. When you pass through that, you will not open your mouth to criticize any man, because you know that we are all products of God's mercy. Redeemer of my past and present wrong. You're the holder of my future days to come. Listen, there was a time in my life I fasted, I prayed, no open door, no breakthrough. No, come on. Don't let anybody lie to you that it just... Ask every man of God who is honest with you. They will tell you that the anointing only comes on scars. The anointing doesn't come on fresh skin. There must be a scar, a testament of endurance in the spirit. He said, let no man trouble me. I have my scars. I didn't jump classes in the spirit. Listen, you are listening to me right now everywhere. You are writing a name of God through your pain. There is something you have gone through, and God is saying, don't waste it. I will be glorified in this. When you pass through it, in that experience, listen, you see, there are, let me have one young lady come here, please. Let me just, you, anybody, please come quickly. Anyone, choir, you are not a lady now, gentleman. Come, can you come up? This lady can be, I apologize if you are somebody's wife, just an example. Are we together? Now watch this. This young lady, it's easy for her to come to church and they say God is faithful, God is mighty. There is no, her experience has not captured the need for that revelation. Her life is too innocent to understand that dimension. She's never been disappointed. They've always paid school fees for her. Everything has been rosy. So when they say, let's cry for message, oh God, pastor, don't waste our time. And God says, don't worry. There is already a curriculum that will force her to need that sermon. You continue to walk. One day she enters a relationship with a gentleman, and all of a sudden she turns to young ladies and says, this thing is so easy. What are you praying for a life partner for like this? Keep going. One day, when she has announced to everybody that she wants to get married, then the gentleman says, I'm not doing again. And you allow the lady all of the supposed shame and embarrassment, brings her to the point where she will now join you to sing that song. Now she has an experience that forces her to need the mercy of God. The mercy of God is not for sinners. It's not just an attribute when you have sinned, maybe like done something wrong. The mercy of God is the system that authorizes his presence to meet you. I'm showing you, remember we are discussing Exodus 25, that it is above. If the mercy seat is not there, I am not there. If your life is too innocent of an experience that needs me, you will not find me. Treasure of my heart and of my soul. It's in my weakness you are merciful. Hallelujah. So this lady comes to a point where she's broken. Ordinarily, when she comes to church to kneel down and worship, she's one, there's a guy looking at me somewhere. You are too alive for the mercy of God. But there is a way that she will return for service that night, unusually early. Number one, that's a sign that mercy is about to come. Number two, they raise a song that has nothing to do with kneeling down, and the lady is already crying and rolling, and you want to quickly touch her. God says, don't you dare touch her, leave her. It is that condition I'm looking for. There is a name for it. It's called a broken and a contrite spirit. It's a posture in the spirit that cries for help from heaven. Are we together? And the lady comes and says, Lord, I know that I'm beautiful, but now I have a confession. Every time they say a man can receive nothing except it is given, the truth is I never believed it, because I knew that my beauty was something to write home about. But right now, in sincerity, I acknowledge that you are the giver of everything. My encounter through pain has revealed to me that the race is not to the swift, and the battle is, you are no longer reciting scripture. Your life is writing something about God. Tomorrow, when this lady is counseling another proud young lady who will not listen, she will tell her, my dear, am I ugly? She says, no, ma. She says, sit down. Let me give you a story. In 1971, I was not always this humble. I used to make noise just like you, but something happened to me. Some of you, it is because of your pain that you came for this meeting. Or the ordinary you will never come for this meeting. Yeah.
It's in my weakness you are merciful.
Have you ever had a challenge in your life that you sat down outside and not even mosquito could stop you? That's what pain, let me tell you, those are useful experiences. Pastors, let's be careful how we help people, lest we rob people of an experience that should lead them to the mercy of God. There are times that someone is so broke, God is about to give him an encounter as Jehovah Jireh. You want to quickly come and help him. God says, leave him. This man will never believe that there is seed time and harvest, because he has been receiving harvest from seeds he didn't sow. So in his theology, he believes that you are just making noise. Leave him. I know my mother will send money for me in 2 weeks, and 1 month nothing happens. I know my other uncle will help me, and you just say that the uncle has gone abroad. I know that as soon as I graduate, this uncle will help me, and you hear that he has resigned. Then like Jacob, all that you have, you must dismiss them. He had to tell the wives, I love you, but now go. You will interrupt my encounter. All my cattle, my possessions, the Bible says, when he was alone. Do you know what it means for a man to be alone? It means everything you put your strength and confidence on, God brings you to a point where you know that they are wonderful, but they are not as needed as him. The jealousy of God will keep pushing everything that tries to be him in your life until you are left alone. Then he comes. When he comes to you, he comes in majesty. When he comes, he finds out. The Bible says before God would talk to Jacob, he touched his thigh, the strongest tissue in a human body, the strongest part, and said, Jacob, you are too sufficient. From now, you will need a rod. That rod is Christ. I need to touch you so that without me, you cannot balance again. It's a state of inadequacy forever. I need to create a vacuum that only me can fulfill in your life. You don't need a rod and staff to comfort you when you are complete. But now I touch you so that my rod and my staff, they will comfort you. Hear me, brothers and sisters. When it is time to cry, cry honorably, because that cry is leading you to the mercy seat. Don't worry about those who will look at you, man of God, and say, I knew you were not called. If you are called, should you be like this? And the ego, you are being stung. You organized a miracle meeting, nobody was healed. The angry people who came sick looked at you and said, I will write a newspaper about you. I've always been suspecting. You had the guts to write healing waves. I'm looking for a title. Waves of healing from heaven. Guaranteed, and the people came. And in that pain, do you know it is in that pain, you will sit down and start reading all the healing scriptures in the Bible, not to preach, and say, Lord, I have come to a point where I must get this thing for real. All of a sudden, the mercy seat is calling him. Calling him. Until then, you are just reading, you studied Kenneth E. Hagin's books, oh yes, yes, and all that is stories. You must have a track record. When Jacob was alone, my time is up, but we are going to pray. Listen carefully. Many of us have not met him because you are not alone. You are with your money. You are with your certificate. You are with your wife. You are with your uncle. You are with the complimentary cards of those who can help you. And God says, those things are driving my face. When you come to a point where you know that if God does not help me, there is nothing I can do.
You have captured my heart, consumed my heart with your love. You have captured my heart, consumed.
Hallelujah. The mercy of God is not as cheap as many people make it sound. Just because it's mercy does not mean it is cheap. There is a posture you must assume in the spirit for mercy to work for you. God is speaking to someone here that in this conference you will find the anointing. But God's assignment tonight is to circumcise us of our pride and everything that will not allow his mercy work in our lives. I got a first class. You don't worry, a job is coming. One uncle told me something and God said, the race is not to the swift. There are people who graduated on their way going back home with their certificates. They died and were shredded into pieces. Many of us are ashamed of our pain. Many of us are ashamed of our stories. Can you allow your pain tonight invite the mercies of God? Who taught you that great people don't cry? Who taught you? One of the four living creatures that reflect the glory of God in the throne is the face of a man. God made provision for the humanity of men to be captured in the throne room. Part of the Christian experience allows for your humanity to find expression. Jesus wept. Listen to me, I'm speaking to you. Jesus wept. It is okay to cry. Some of you are sitting down right now. There are things that have challenged you. And you have been taught that if you cry, you don't have faith. Let me teach you something. Your tears call his mercy. You get to a point where you say, Lord, if you don't help me, my ministry cannot rise. If you don't help me, I will never marry. If you don't help me, I will never have financial resources. Lord, I've come to a point where we can't build this church. It has remained at foundational level for 10 years because I've bragged all around that I'm a man of faith. And now I submit to you. You call his mercy. David was a man who mastered the mercy of God. You see, this David man is somebody we must study. God gave him an option whether to leave him in the hands of his enemies or to deal with him. God said, David said, my enemies, men, no way. Let it be me and you. I know how to beg you. I know what to touch. Every time the nation of Israel were beset by different nations to kill them, every time it was obvious that defeat was imminent, they would raise a song. You are good and your mercy is forever. Hallelujah. Do you know that was not a special number? It was a formula. Every time three kings will come together and they will know we are dead, they say, leave swords, gather the priests, let Judah move forward. We need to call on God's mercy, otherwise they are going to finish us. And the moment they raise that song, for he is good and his mercies endure, God will say, now step back, let me fight. There are many cheap battles that we have allowed the devil defeat us in because we have gone in the strength of the flesh. Many people are ashamed of the word mercy, because when you say mercy, you think someone, you are asking because you fornicated with someone or you did something. I shouldn't ask mercy. I'm too matured for mercy. In today's world, when mercy is your rear guard, his presence remains with you. They carried it every time. The ark. when they were going around Jericho, there was no way Jericho would go down. And God said, guys, I don't want to hear your voice now. Let the ark speak. 7 days the ark was speaking while men were quiet. At the seventh day, he said, the ark has won. Shout. One shout brought Jericho down. It is of the Lord's mercy. It is of the Lord's mercy. It is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed. Above the mercy seat, between the cherubims, that's where you will find me. If it is my face you are looking for, I have a location. When I search the earth, I see men who are Christians, but they don't assume that posture. They don't need my mercy. Their self-sufficiency receives my salvation but drives my mercy. So you are born again, but you never can rise. This man standing before you is a product of the mercy of God. I know it. I'm not ashamed to say it. That's why you see him do the things that he does. When you look at me, you are looking at a man who God has shown mercy and grace. He said, thou shall arise and have mercy. I want to favor them, but favor cannot just come until mercy goes before it. So, oh God, arise and have mercy upon this family. Don't say we are tired. It's been witchcraft for 30 years. Who will break it? I know I'm a man of God. You will sit down there in pride and watch it happen as if you are not born again. But you invoke the mercy of God and watch what happens. And God looks at you and says, no one has risen in your family. I choose you. I hold your hand by myself. Let's go. And you will watch battles. The angel held the hand of Peter and the gate started opening by themselves. By themselves. Have you been blessed tonight? That there is a place we find God. That's what happened to Jacob. The first time God appeared, although God was in a place, Jacob's posture didn't allow him to benefit. And God had to allow him. Laban dealt with him. 7 years for a wife, Laban changed her in the night. He got up in the morning to find out that this was not the woman he paid dowry for. Started another 7 years. He told Laban, please, let me go and have my own family. Laban refused. In that frustration, he left. Now Esau was going to come and he didn't know what would happen to him. That frustration led him. When he was alone, God said, my mercy has been trailing you. Now I can come. Some of you, because of this message tonight, let me tell you, you will receive very strange visitations. God will tell some of you, for 12 years I've been waiting for you to hear this sermon. I would have blessed you since, but every time you stand, your sufficiency is in yourself. You will never arrive that way. Now step back and let me step in. The day I met the Lord, I had fasted and prayed and done all these things. I wasn't fasting that day. I can't remember praying anything. I was just lying down, but with a desperation. I will teach you on hunger tomorrow. Desperation. And all of a sudden, Jesus walked into my room. I can't remember inviting him. I honestly can't remember. He walked to me. When people ask me today, what is the price to see Jesus? It's a bit difficult to answer. I can't tell you there is no price, but I can also tell you there is a price. The price is the price to get his mercy to come your direction. That's the price. When the mercy of God, in fact, it is the price for everything in the kingdom. If the mercy of God can come towards your direction, brothers and sisters, you will see people. Do you know in the Bible, many people did the same thing and God rebuked some and left some? Aaron and Miriam insulted Moses. The glory of God came, left Miriam leprous as snow. And then nothing happened to Aaron. How about God? Your grandfather worshiped idols. My grandfather worshiped idols. And all of a sudden, God is lifting me as if they served Jesus all over in our lives. and then he leads you like this. The difference is mercy. You will never understand grace till you understand mercy. Most people who teach grace destroy people because they don't teach mercy. My life today, I repeat, is a testimony of his mercy. The day Dr. Miles Monroe died, I was in Warri, I think Warri, Delta State. And that night before I would go to sleep, my chest started paining me. One of the great mentors I had in my life, it pained me when the man went to be with the Lord. I was planning already to meet with him a few months before he died. And when I heard 5 a.m. in the morning, I got a text that he had died in a plane crash. I said, my God, how could a man who was so pivotal to the revelation of the kingdom? Now, it doesn't matter the situations that surrounded his death. There are many debates as to this and that. My job is not to create the theological debate, but it reminded me again how many planes would have crashed with me inside. It's not just saying I have faith. Sometimes we need to humble ourselves for once and say, Lord, I know that I have faith, but this one is your mercy. It's your mercy. It's your mercy that Moses is growing in the house of Pharaoh and they did not see him. It is the mercy of God. The center of wizardry, there was the very person Satan was looking for. He was in that house eating the wizard's food, yet the eye of witchcraft could not see him. Think of all the things that God has done in your life that you know. He said, if the Lord had not been by our side, now may Israel say, if the Lord had not been by my side. I have seen anointed men and women of God whose ministry doors have refused to open. They love God. I testify that they love God. Your goodness is real. I testify your goodness is real. Your mercy is real. I testify your mercy is real. Your favor is real. I testify. Hallelujah. Thank you, darling. God bless you. We're going to pray. Two prayer points tonight. The first prayer point, what's that song? Rock of Ages, cleft for me. I'm establishing the prayer point. Let me hide myself in thee. Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. You are my shield. You are my covering. You are my stability. My foundation. Take me to the place. That's the prayer point. The place you are. The secret place. That's where I want to be. Take me to the place. The place you are. The secret place. That's where I want to be.
That's where. That's where I want to be.
Lord, bring me to a place tonight where I acknowledge your sufficiency, not my strength, not my qualification. It is not of him that willeth, it is not of him that runneth, but of the Lord that showeth mercy. Enugu, are you praying? Thank you for your mercy. Bring me to a point, oh God, where I lose confidence in my flesh. Mm-hmm.
I can't do nothing without you. There's no life to me, so I need you in my life today. Lord, I need you in my life. I need you in my life today.
It is of the Lord's mercy. Talk to the Lord. Bring me to a point, oh God, where my pride is buried in your mercy. Bring me to a point, oh God, where my self-sufficiency is buried in your mercy. It's not just because I pray. It's not just because I have kept myself. It's not just because I was called into ministry. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The second prayer point. If you can pray this prayer point with the sincerity of your heart, Lord, for the sake of your name, show me mercy. Pray this prayer and watch God arise in ways that will surprise you. For your name's sake, show my ministry mercy. Lord, I've been fasting for this anointing. I've desired this prophetic grace. I've desired this apostolic anointing. I've desired a change of story. For your name's sake, I cry out for mercy.
Take over. Take over. I have come to the end of myself. Take over. Take over. I have touched the end of myself. Please take over. Jehovah. I have come to the end of myself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I have come, this is the end of me. Take over, take over. I have come to the end of myself. Take over, take over. I have touched the end of myself. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I have come to the end of my. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I have come, I have come. Hey, take over.
Lord, I fasted to stop masturbation. I fasted to stop pornography. I fasted to stop a life of sin. I've prayed. I've done all I know to do. I've prayed. I've given. I've tithed. For the sake of your name, show me mercy.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Listen. Hallelujah. Listen to me. It is David the psalmist who will write his sins as a song and give his music director and say, sing it. And God said, what kind of man is this? What kind of man is this? He will sing and dance before God. His wife looks at him and says, you are disgracing yourself. He said, I dance before the God who took the throne from your father and gave to me. God had her and she remained without a child till death. Listen, listen, we are rounding up, but something is happening to you that is preparing you for this conference. God is preparing you for encounter. You prayed, but you never cried for mercy. The mercy of God is a personal revelation that I've learned in my life. I learned this years ago when I was nothing and I had nothing. I can teach you principles, but when you summarize in the final analysis, we are products of God's strange mercy. There is a dimension to every man's success that he cannot explain. It's an equation that only the mercy of God can cover that gap. When all is said and done, the horse is prepared for battle, but it will take the mercy of God to grant safety. There are people praying. We are going to round up soon, but I want you to pray just one more prayer. Lord, I take everything that looks like my achievement, like a trophy, I lay it down to you. Lift your voice and pray. Lord, I can't deny the fact that you have anointed me, but I lay it tonight. Lord, I thank you because you made me a beautiful lady. Thank you because you made me a handsome guy. But Lord, I bring it tonight before your presence. I still see men and women who are ashamed to take off their golden crowns and worship His Majesty. Lord, you have everything. My achievements, my crowns, I bring before you. Take all of me, Lord. You have my everything. I give all of me, Lord. You have my everything. Take my everything. I release my everything. You have my everything. Use my everything. Take all of me, Lord. You have my everything. Take all of me. Use all of me. Hey. I give all of me. I give all of me to you. He said, I beseech thee, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye offer the incense of sacrifice, that you will offer and allow yourself to be burned, and the smoke that rises from you like the sacrifice of Abel, will rise to the heavens and God will smell a savour that will compel him there. This is the thing I did with my life, brothers and sisters. If I live by his mercy, then why will I withhold anything from him? Listen, I want you to still pray that prayer. There are things that we cannot give God. There are things that we cannot release. That's why he doesn't come to us. Some of us is your finances. Some of us is your relationship. If God makes a demand, no. Whatever you cannot give God is him in your life. Everything. Can you pray and say, Lord, take everything. Take everything in my life that contends with you. Not to take it away from you, but to bring it to its rightful position. Whether it is money, whether it is anointing, whether it is ministry, whether it is titles, whatever it is. I'm singing this song because the Lord said I should sing it. While I'm singing this song, something will happen to you. Just a few minutes. Hallelujah. I'm standing here now. The one prayer I'm praying for you, there are people who will be initiated into a realm of deep encounters. That's the only prayer tonight. I want to pray for you now. Hallelujah. Now, not everyone, but whether you are inside or outside, there are people, just from this one prayer, there is something, your Christian experience is about to shift. Please, I want you to bring them outside. Whether down, up, if there's no space, you can just... Lord, I'm praying now in the name of Jesus, by the mercies of the God of heaven. There are men and women here. You brought me to this city. Help that lady, please. Whether you are an usher or not, please help them. Whether you are an usher or not. I stretch my hands now across this place. May the angel of the Lord's presence, the angel of encounter, the one that brings men and women into realms of encounter, may he begin to draw men. Help them, please. Don't let anyone injure himself around you. Bring them out, inside, outside. May that angel, my God, my God, my God, I see ladies, there are women, the spirit of encounters. I call you by the spirit. Yeah.
Alamania Namasada Badia. New dimension in the spirit. The eyes that see and the ears that hear. No more nominal Christianity. By the Spirit, come into a realm. The Spirit of God is saying, come up hither. Come up hither. Come up hither. For the sake of that call that is upon your life, for the sake of the revival that must happen in this city, for the sake of the election, the prophecy upon your family, come up hither tonight. Hallelujah. Listen, there are some of you, you came for this conference, but the grace, the anointing, you never knew that the call of God was upon your life. God has been following you for years, quietly. Some of you through university, God has been following you. Tonight is the night when that depth of destiny is calling. 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 I'm rounding up. Oh, speak from the heavens and the earth will hear. Oh, sing from the heavens and I'll hear from the earth. Oh, sing from your heavens and I'll hear from the earth. My altar is calling you, oh God. My sacrifice is calling you, oh God. My altar is calling you, oh God. Take my praise. Take my praise. From your throne, and we'll hear your voice in this place. For my altar is calling you, oh God. My altar is calling you, oh God. My altar is calling you. Take my praise, take my praise. Now for all of you who are in front, in the name of Jesus, I stretch my hands at the count of three. The grace that keeps you in this encounter, receive it now. One, two, three. Take that grace. Take that grace. I supply. Help them. Help them. Help them, please, so they don't injure themselves. That grace on your life. That grace. Hallelujah. Now listen, tomorrow morning, I understand there are two more sessions, am I right? There's a session in the morning, and now please listen. Tomorrow in the morning is going to be a prophetic service. There are things that must end in people's lives. I don't know the sacrifice you need to make tomorrow. But please, this is not just an invitation. This is not just a conference. God is visiting people. There are people whose destinies must change. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There are people whose destinies must change.
There's no time to do much, but please don't just come tomorrow with your heart open. Come with hunger, because you will be in the service while God is doing something in your home, changing things. In this conference, God has come to shift things. Don't sit down doubting. No. As soon as Saul saw Samuel, the missing donkey went back home. He didn't ask the donkey to go. As soon as his eye met the prophet, the donkey started going back home. And then, tomorrow night, we trust that the power of God will blow up the roof in this church. And to just visit this land, it's going to be a miracle and an impartation service. I don't do impartations carelessly, but one of the things that will happen tonight, I cried this to God, is that an unction, an anointing, a mantle, that he must locate someone in this place and rest. There is no way we will go back and end this conference and you just saw you felt good. There are people who must carry definite mantles. Hallelujah. We are going to be activating the gifts of the Spirit, and God is going to be releasing you into strange dimensions. Please, if you are a pastor or you know a pastor, I like you, even if not for the morning service, please, for the evening service. It's not that I'm better than anyone, it's a product of God's grace, but so that we can be partakers of this grace and carry something that will shift the church in Nsukka. Do you know, when Bishop met me at the airport, he said something that touched me, our father here. He said, man of God, you are welcome to this city and this state. And he said, the gates of the city is open for you. I was very blessed, because it was a very instructive and a prophetic statement. If the gate is open, then that means there should be unrestrained access into the situations in your life and to correct them by the Spirit. Father, we give you praise tonight. I prophesy to everyone here, between tonight, hear me, and tomorrow's service, in the name of Jesus, as a token for what God is doing in this conference, return with a strange dimension of testimonies. Please believe it. In the name of Jesus, some of you hear me, on your way going back home, you will get text messages and your family members will call you and say some things that have been missing, some things that have caused trouble in the family. I say this by the election of God's grace. In the name of Jesus, everything that must show up in your life between this night and tomorrow morning, I command it to show up now. Wave your hands to Jesus and give him praise.